I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I would like to read from the 92nd Psalm. Psalm 119, verse 92. Psalm 119, verse 92. Before we begin to try to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come before Thy throne of grace, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. And we know that we need Thee every moment of our lives. We know that we cannot draw the next breath without Thy blessings upon us. We're thankful that Thou art the giver of life and the sustainer of life, and that You're able to help when all other helps are useless and vain. We pray that You would help us this day, that You would help us to hear and understand, believe, and obey Thy word. May Thy word be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Help us to think about the word of God as we begin this year. Help us to know the basic things that we need as we begin another year. Help us, Lord, to realize the importance of the word of God. Help us to study Thy word every day. Help us to read and meditate on Thy Word and to commit Thy Word to memory, that we would memorize Scriptures, that Thy Word would have a lodging place in our hearts. We do beg Thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. We pray that Thou would bless them. We're thankful, Lord, for many that have been sick that are doing better. Thankful for the healthy birth of Sister Delisa's grandson. And pray that You would bless all of us together every day. You know the needs of each person here. We're thankful that Brother James is able to be back in the house of the Lord, and pray that You would lift him up and completely restore him to his health. Bless all the others who are sick. Bless those with cancer and other kinds of illnesses, that You would help them in every way. Bless Thy people that are having special burdens and problems and troubles. Help them and protect them. Keep them from harm and danger. Help us now as we study Thy holy word. Teach us and instruct us. May Thy Spirit be manifest in a very special way. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading now from Psalm 119, beginning in verse 92. I want to read 92 through 105. Psalm 119, verses 92 through 105. The Word of God says, "Unless Thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget Thy precepts, for with them Thou hast quickened me. I am Thine, save me, for I have sought Thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider Thy testimonies. I've seen an end of all perfection, but Thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love Thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through Thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for Thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than all the ancients, because I keep Thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep Thy word. I have not departed from Thy judgments, for Thou hast taught me. How sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through Thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This 119th Psalm, more than any other passage of Scripture, stresses the importance of the Word of God. I want us to go back and look primarily, to begin with, at the 92nd verse. Verse 92 says, "Unless Thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I want us to think about what the psalmist is saying here when he says, unless thy law had been my delight. That is, he was rejoicing in the word of God. Unless thy law had been my delight, he said, I should then have perished in my affliction. The law of God, or the word of God, the precepts of God, the word of God is given by God. It is the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter, or 2 Timothy says that, chapter 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God teaches the people of God. It is not and has never been the intent or purpose of the gospel to save people from eternal hell to the eternal heaven. The living word, Jesus Christ, is the one who has saved us from our sins. It is not in keeping the law of God that we stay out of eternal hell. It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we're saved from our sins. Amen. And yet there is great blessing for the people of God when they hear the word of God and obey the word of God and meditate on the word of God. And right here the psalmist says, unless thy law had been my delights. That is, I delight in the word of God. Anybody that really delights in the word of God is going to be reading the word of God. If it's something you love, if it's something you delight in, you're going to be meditating on the word of God. You're going to be memorizing the word of God. I want you to look at all the different places, not all but a few, in this 119th Psalm where different psalmists said, I love thy law. I love thy precepts. I love thy commandment. Do you love the word of God? Do you really love the word of God? Do you realize that the word of God can save your soul from a lot of hell while you live here in this world? I'm talking about the written word of God. If you'll pay attention to God's word and do what God's word says, it will save your soul from a lot of hell while you live here in this world. Notice in verse 97, just want you to notice that some of the psalmists describe here how much they love the word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 97, he says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. He meditated on the word of God. I love thy law. Verse 113. He says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Verse 119. He says, thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. Look at verse 126 and 127. He said, it is time for thee, O Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Is that happening in America today? They're making void the law of God. They do not love the law of God. There are people that are ruling over us today who despise the law of God. That's the opposite of loving the law of God. Now, what does the text say again? I want you to look at the text. It says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. If you do not love the law of God, what does this verse tell us will happen to us in our affliction? We will perish. I'm not talking about dying and going to hell. I'm talking about the fact that God's children can perish while they yet live. And he says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Are there people of God that we can look at the Word of God and say now, they perished or they died or they were separated from fellowship with God? Can you look in the Word of God and see that here is an individual or here are individuals that perished because they did not love and find delight in the law of God? How far back in the Bible do you have to go to find somebody that perished because they did not love the law that God gave them? All you have to do is go to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, you read about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they perished. Did they perish? Did they die? They didn't die a physical death, but they did die because God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam and Eve perished. They were cut off from the blessings of God. They were separated from fellowship with God. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Why? Because they did not love, they did not delight in the law of God. There weren't a bunch of laws then. There was only one law. Only one law. That's the only one they had to keep, was that one law that they were not to eat of the forbidden fruit. And they did not love that law. They did not delight in that law. They did not realize that law was given to them for their good. What happened to them? They perished. All through the Scriptures, you find, for example, Lot's wife. You go to Genesis chapter 19. God told Lot and his family to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and as they fled, not to look back. What was the law right there? What was the law, the specific law that was given to them right there? Don't look back. Now, if Lot's wife had delighted in the law of God, if she had realized, now this law was given to me for my good, then she would not have looked back. What does the text say here in Psalm 119 and verse 92? Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Was there trouble that came to Lot and his family because they did not love the law of God? And then was there destruction that came to Lot, that came to Lot's wife because she did not delight in the law that God gave them? What does the text say? Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I want us to realize this morning that there is a salvation that comes through the Word of God, and there is a perishing that comes from not loving the Word of God. Our reaction to the Word of God and the law of God has a profound effect on how we live here in this world. Do you love the law of God? Are there people in this 119th Psalm that describe how much they love the law of God? Over and over. Come on down to just one or two others. I stopped in verse 126. I want to read that 126 and 127 again because they're connected. Psalm 119 verse 126 says, "It is time for thee, O Lord, to work." You think it's time for the Lord to work in America? Is it time for the Lord to work? Listen to what he said. "It is time for thee, O Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Is the price of gold rising in America? You know what? Just as the price of gold and the value of gold is rising, and many people are buying gold, I want you to know that there's something more important for you to have than gold. There's something that will do you more good. If our nation, I'll just say, when our nation is destroyed, and when we go through troubles, and when we have afflictions in our lives, there's something more important than gold and silver, and that's the Word of God. "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." Go with me to James. Go forward in your Bibles to the book of James. I want you to look in the New Testament at James chapter 1. In the beginning of James, in fact, all the way through the book of James, one of the main subjects that's being talked about is the importance of us obeying God's law, obeying God's Word. And it says that as you're tempted, is that an affliction? Is temptation an affliction? I believe that it is. When you are tempted, what do you need to grasp? What do you need to hold on to? What do you need to think about? What do you need to meditate on when you're tempted? The law. Thy law. The Word of God. What does the text say? "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." When we are tempted, we better remember something. We better think about something. We better recall the Word of God. Every time any man here, if you're ever tempted to fall in love with or to to run around with another woman, I'm telling you, you better remember what God's Word says. Every woman here, if you begin to think about running around with someone other than your spouse, if you begin to think about doing that, I want you to know you better immediately run to God's Word and think about and meditate what God said. And you also need to think about what God did to David when he had his relationship with Bathsheba. Think about it. What does the text say? Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Did David perish in his temptation? Did he perish? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Listen now to James chapter 1, starting with verse 14. The Word of God says, and this just shows you that you can perish or you can die while you're still living physically. You can be dead in your soul. Your soul can die. In James 1 verse 14, the Word of God says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what?
Death.
Now, I know that physically we die, but I'm telling you that's not the primary thing under consideration here in James chapter 1, verses 14, 15, and 16. The main thing that's under consideration here is that God's children can die while they're yet living. Sin brings forth death. What will keep you from sinning? Listen, the Word of God's going to tell you here. What will keep you from sinning? The law of God, exactly. If you're thinking on the law of God, if you're meditating on the law of God, if you're reading the law of God, if you're thinking about the Word of God, it will keep your soul from perishing in temptations. Come down to verse 21. James 1, verse 21, the Word of God says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul. I want everybody here to know that you have the ability to save my soul. You have the ability to save my soul. In the very same breath, because there's so much misunderstanding about what God's Word says on saving souls, I want you to know that there's not a person that I've ever saved from eternal hell to eternal heaven. Not a woman. I've never saved. See, the Word of God teaches that God saves us body, soul, and spirit from eternal hell. But I can save my brothers and sisters from the error of their way, and you can save my soul. The only thing that you can ever use that will save my soul is not human reasoning or understanding. You need one thing to save my soul. What's the one thing? If you're going to come to me, Brother David, and save my soul, what had you better come with? Amen. Come with the law. Come with the Word of God. Come and talk to me out of God's Word. Show me what God's Word says. That's what will save my soul. It'll save my soul if I meditate on it. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. I would have been destroyed. My life would have been gone. I would have died. I would have perished in this temptation if God's Word had not been my delight. Do you sometimes reject the Word of God? Do you sometimes get away from the Word of God? Do you sometimes despise the Word of God? What will happen if you continue in that vein? You will what? You'll perish. That's right. You'll perish. Look at James chapter... Come to James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. We're talking about perishing. We're talking about a soul dying. James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren... James 5, verse 19 says, brethren, are we talking about children of God?
Yes.
Absolutely. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, can I err from the truth? Indeed I can, and I do. Brethren, I thank God for the church. I thank God for the love and the fellowship we have with one another. And I thank God for the privilege to come and worship God and to sing songs of praise and to hear the Word of God and join our hearts together in prayer. And to help one another when one is cast down. But did you know that another function of the church is for us to watch over one another for good? Why? Because, Brother Don, you can save my soul when you see me going astray.
Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him.
Now, convert is different than regeneration. I've never caused anybody to be born again, neither has any other man on this earth ever caused anybody to be born again. The new birth is a work that God does himself without the aid or instrumentality of men in any way. Amen. That's the new birth. That's something God does. God does it in countries where the gospel has never been preached. God has the power to quicken whomsoever he will. And God does that. And yet God also can teach us in his word and instruct us and give us his laws to save us from a lot of hell here on this earth. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Can you save soul? Brother Neil, can you save? Do you know I'm trying to save your soul?
According to James, yeah.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Well, according to James. Who told James to write these words?
My sweet Lord.
Okay, my sweet Lord. Very good. According to the Word of God, we can save souls. Again, what do you need to save souls? The Word of God. Listen, brethren, if you don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, you're in a terrible mess. If you're going to lean to your own understanding, or if you're going to let the majority rule, you're in a terrible mess. Because the majority is wrong. The majority is wrong. The majority of this world despises the law of God. There are only a few of the people of God that love the law of God and meditate in the law of God and delight in the law of God. That's the reason that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it, because few love the law of God. But unless I, that psalmist says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Go with me back to Job just a moment. I want to think about a different affliction other than sin right now. Because the affliction that we're looking at in the first book, first chapter of James and the last chapter, the affliction there is the affliction of sin. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. In the affliction of sin, every time the devil tempts you, there's only one thing you need. Only one thing you can have that will help you. In fact, Jesus proved it, didn't he? Here comes the devil. The devil said, and Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And while Jesus had been fasting and the fast was over, and he came and he was hungry, the Word of God tells us that the devil came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread. Jesus was meditating on something right there. Jesus was delighting in something. What was he meditating on? The law of God, the Word of God. He says, here's Jesus' response to the devil. It is written. Do you need to know what's written?
That's right.
Listen, brethren, ignorance of the Word of God. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Why? Because it's in meditating and thinking about and reading and studying the Word of God that we're saved from afflictions. Unless thy law had been my delights, I would have perished in mine affliction. The affliction of sin and temptation. You need to think about the Word of God. Now, I want to think about a different affliction just a moment. Did Job, all that Job experienced in his suffering in Job chapter, that's described in Job chapter 1, was that because of sin in Job's life that Job had all those things to happen? No, it was not because of sin that he had committed. The Word of God says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was upright. A man that feared God, a man that shunned evil. How did he know what evil was? He thought about, read the law of God. He loved the law of God. He delighted in the law of God. And when God told him something, he rejoiced in what God said. And then the devil came and said to God, have you considered my servant? God said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, well, yes, but you've got a hedge around him, and I can't touch him. Did you know there's a hedge around every one of you? And there's a limit to what God will allow. There is a limit to what God will allow to happen in your life. God has a hedge around you, and there's a limit. Now, God will allow some things to happen. That's a law that you need to remember. Because unless you remember that God will allow some things to happen, you'll perish. Look at Job chapter 1, and Job loses all of his possessions. Brethren, Job was financially bankrupt when this first chapter was over. He was empty. There are many people, I believe there's some good children of God that are going bankrupt in the next 2 or 3 years. I believe there's some children of God that are going to go bankrupt through no fault of their own. They're going to lose everything they've got. Is that an affliction to lose everything you've got? Is that an affliction to lose? Sorrow, is that an affliction to lose everything you have? That's an affliction. That's an affliction. But what's going to help you in your affliction? What will keep you from perishing in your affliction? The Word of God. The Word of God. When Job had lost all of his possessions, and then all 10 of his children died, Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Listen, that's the law of God right there. How many of you are going to take something with you when you leave this world? Anybody? The New Testament says, let me read it for fear of misquoting it. Listen, just stay right here because we're going to look at Job. But I want you to listen to this one scripture. The scripture says, we brought nothing into this world. Listen. We brought nothing into this world. You know, Job didn't make this up over here when he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall... What was he saying? He was saying the same law of God. Everybody that comes in this world comes without anything, and everybody that leaves this world leaves without anything. Do you need to remember that law? You're not going to take anything with you. Doesn't matter how much you accumulate, doesn't matter how much you have when you die, you're not taking one penny with you. It's all left behind. He says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Naked came I into this world, naked shall I return thither. Does that law of God, that you're not going to leave here with anything, does that help you when you lose everything that you have here? Does a knowledge of the truth that you're not going to leave this world with anything, and it doesn't matter how much money you have, when it comes time to die, that money cannot help you. Does that law help you when you lose things in this world? I believe that it does. I think that it helps you tremendously to know, well, whether it's today that I lose everything or whether it's the day I die. If I lose everything today, listen, if you lose everything today, can you start over? Can you start over?
Yes.
Sure, you can start over. You can start over. I've started over several times in my life. You can start over financially. You can start over spiritually. Aren't you glad you can start all over?
Amen.
And the Word of God is saying here that Job, after he had said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither, he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll tell you, Job was saved right there. He was saved by the Word of God. What does the text say in Psalm 119, verse 92? Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Could Job have written, he didn't, but could Job have written that text in Psalm 119, 92? Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Look at Job 2. He's going to think about the Word of God again. Job 2, verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou... Now this is, it's gotten worse. Have you ever said it can't get any worse than this? You fasten your seatbelt if you ever say it, because I've said it a few times in my life. And you know what happened? Every time I've said it couldn't get any worse than this, it got worse than this. It can get worse. And things were bad in the life of Job. You might think, well, he's hit rock bottom. Nope, not yet. Not yet. It got worse. He had boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. It got worse. And then his wife said, curse God and die. Now, what's the only thing that saved Job from cursing God and dying? There's only one thing that helped Job in that affliction, not only of losing his possessions, not only of losing his children, not only of having his wife say, just curse God and die. There was only one thing that helped him right there. You know what it was? It was the Word of God. Here's what Job said to his wife after she said, curse God and die. Look at Job chapter 2 and verse 10. The Word of God says, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. You know what she didn't understand? What did she not delight in? There was something that Job's wife did not delight in. What was it? The law of God, the Word of God. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Are you going to have good things and bad things happen in your life? And is it God that allows it to happen? Is it God that allows it to happen? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you know the devil cannot touch you without God allowing it? Whatever trouble comes, it came because God allowed it to happen. And that'll help you in your affliction to know your Father, your Heavenly Father, who loves you more than anybody else on this earth, your Heavenly Father is filtering anything that ever happens in your life. Your Father is on His throne. Your Father loves you. And your Father cares about everything that happens. And He will never allow something to happen. In fact, when it all happens, you remember the Apostle Paul? You remember what Paul said whenever he had that thorn in the flesh? Did he have an affliction? Did he have an affliction when he had a thorn in the flesh? And do you know what kept Paul from perishing when he had that affliction? It was one thing that kept, there was only one thing. What was it? It was the Word of God, the law of God. That's exactly right. The law of God. Because in his affliction, Paul said he cried unto God, he prayed unto God for God to remove the thorn, and Jesus spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And you know what he said? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather suffer affliction. How could he change from being sad to being happy in the midst of affliction? You know what he heard? You know what he heard? The Word of God. The Word of God. Unless thy law had been my delight, I had then perished in mine affliction. Could Paul say that's true? Unless I remember. I don't know how many times in my ministry that I've been in the midst of individuals that were in the middle of terrible affliction in their life. I'm talking about terrible, terrible times. That I have heard them say, my grace is sufficient for thee. That I've heard them say, God's grace is sufficient. Isn't that a wonderful thing to hear the people, to see the people of God going through difficult times? It's painful. But to hear them then in the midst of their affliction to say, God's grace is sufficient for even this. Even though I'm going through the worst thing that I've ever gone through in my life, God's grace is sufficient for even this. Now, brethren, unless you delight in the law of God, you're going to perish in your affliction. But if you'll think about, meditate on the law of God, the Word of God, in the midst of your affliction, if you'll think about the Word of God, it will save you from perishing. Jesus expresses it this way. He says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, that's a doer of the Word, not just a hearer, doesn't do any good to just hear it. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the winds blew, and the floods came and beat upon that house. Is that afflictions? Yes. And beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why didn't it fall? Because that was a child of God that had heard and done what God said, and their house was built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. May God help us as we leave the house of God this day, and as you begin this coming year, I hope that God will impress on your minds the importance of what? The importance of what? The importance of the Word of God. If you want to be saved, if you want to be delivered in the midst of your afflictions, if you don't want to perish, then you must delight in the law of God. May God help us to do that, is my prayer for Christ's sake.